First Sunday of Advent, we're going to be, if you've been with us, you know that every Advent season, we start a new series of messages that focuses on the season of Advent. So that's what we're going to do this year. We're going to pause our current preaching series on Exodus to focus on this series, this Advent season. So we finished the Ten Commandments last week. So hopefully you were here for that. If you missed it, go watch it on our YouTube or our Facebook page. So this morning we're going to start this new series. It's a mini series just for this Advent season on the importance and the relevance of the Old Testament as it relates to Jesus. We live in a period of time where the gospel is increasingly being modified, I would say watered down, to become more and more accommodating and accepting and affirming, easier to swallow, so to speak. But they're doing it at the expense of the integrity of the true gospel. So I'm not sure if you listen to the message. We're going to get into that later on. And that issue, this issue of watering down the gospel, did not begin with that pastor in the video. By the way, that pastor is Andy Stanley, if you guys know him, son of Charles Stanley. Yeah. So it didn't begin with him. I believe that this has been going on for quite some time and has given birth to the progressive Christian movement. Have you guys heard of this? Progressive Christianity. It's given way to that movement, and also it's given way to this incorrect view of the Old Testament. And if you have a wrong view of the Old Testament, it could ultimately lead to a departure from biblical Christianity. So it's a serious topic. I know, why are you doing this during, it's supposed to be a joyous season? I think it's important because the focus of people when it comes to Christmas season is gone. It's lost. We're focusing too much on the commercial aspect of it instead of the true meaning of it. So for this year's Advent series, our goal as leaders of this church is to show you the importance and the significance of the Old Testament in our understanding of salvation and the centrality and preeminence of Jesus in the Bible as a whole, right? A focus on Christ. The whole Bible is focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot look at the gospel as just the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus only through a New Testament lens. We come from that, but we can't just look at it from that angle. We need to also understand the gospel from the Old Testament perspective. Because the Old Testament is the why or the reason for the New Testament gospel being the good news of salvation. Why is the gospel such good news? Go read your Old Testament. So let me start by taking you back to that introduction video clip that we just saw. That clip was taken from a sermon series by Andy Stanley called Aftermath. I don't encourage you to watch it, so don't watch it. Especially if you're not grounded. He's such a good speaker that it's easy for you to kind of agree with what he's saying. So I don't encourage you to watch it, but I mention it for transparency. Okay, and this is not an Andy Stanley bashing sermon. I'm just using him as an example. So according to Stanley, his main concern is that the version of Christianity that we are currently teaching the next generation will not be able to stand up to the onslaught that Christianity is experiencing today. The version of Christianity that we're teaching will not be able to stand up to the onslaught, the attack that Christianity is experiencing today. Now, what made him say this? He mentioned this during the video that after listening to some new atheists on YouTube and reading some of their books and how these new atheists dismantled and undermined traditional Christianity, more specifically the Old Testament, he was convinced that there was something fundamentally wrong with the traditional understanding of traditional Christianity. So after listening to atheists dismantle Christianity, especially using the Old Testament. Andy Stanley was convinced that there was something fundamentally wrong with Christianity. The way we teach it here in this church, traditional Christianity. So what's wrong with it? What's wrong with traditional Christianity that I believe most responsible biblical churches are teaching? What is wrong with our version of Christianity? Again, according to Andy Stanley, the Achilles heel of Christianity that is being exploited by non-believers, namely the new atheists, is the misapplication of a very important pillar of the Reformation, namely sola scriptura in Latin, or in English, scripture alone. Or, let me say in a different way, Stanley thinks that the way we view and apply the Bible, and by that he specifically means the Old Testament, is what's wrong with Christianity. This is the Achilles heel or the weak spot when it comes to traditional Christianity. Now for those of you who don't know, in the original Protestant theology, or some may call it the Reformed theology, their understanding of salvation is summarized using five solas, right? Sola Scriptura, Solus Christus, Sola Fide, Sola Gratia, and Soli Deo Gloria. What does that mean? It's the salvation is through scriptures alone, in Christ alone, through faith alone, by grace alone, to the glory of God alone. So basically, these five pillars hold up our understanding of what it means to be saved. If somebody asks you, what does it mean for you to be a Christian? That's what you answer. What does it mean to be saved? That's what you answer. I'm saved through scriptures alone, in Christ alone, by faith alone, through grace alone, for the glory of God alone. All these pillars are indispensable when it comes to our understanding of salvation. So if someone were to take out one pillar, let's say the sola scriptura pillar, God's chosen instrument, the Bible, to reveal himself to mankind. If someone were to take that out, what do you think will happen? This is what we are holding on to. This is what we come back to every time somebody asks us, why do you believe what you believe? It's because of this. If somebody were to take that out, what do you think will happen? Because when you read the New Testament and you read the letters of Paul, you always see this phrase, as it is written. Over and over again, you see that. What do you think that is? Reference to Old Testament. In fact, the Old Testament is the foundation for one of the more popular verses in Romans. Romans 10:13. What does Romans 10:13 say? For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you notice in your Bible, it says for, and then there's quotes on everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Why? Because Paul didn't say that. He got that from somewhere else. Where did he get that from? Joel 2:32. Where is Joel 2:32? In the Old Testament. So if someone were to take that pillar out, or in the case of Andy Stanley, if you weaken it by discrediting or undermining part of Scripture, when I say part of Scripture, I'm talking about three-quarters of it in the Old Testament. If you discredit and undermine that, what are you doing? You're discrediting and undermining the rest of the pillars. How else are you going to explain Soli Deo Gloria, right? How else are you going to explain Solus Christus? How else are you going to explain that? Just by your own opinion? What's going to hold that up if you take out scriptures, if you weaken it, if you weaken that pillar? Taking out that pillar weakens a Christian both in their assurance of salvation and their witness to their salvation. So what Andy Stanley is doing, his motivation is to strengthen the next generation, right? Because he's seeing that these atheists are able to dismantle Christianity using the Old Testament. And he's saying that if we teach our kids that the Old Testament is part of the whole thing, it is still relevant, then you're weakening their witness. So his solution is take it out. But instead of strengthening them, I think they're I think he's weakening them even more. Instead of growing them and building them up, I think he's stunting their growth. And this is so ironic, again, because Stanley's main goal for this sermon series is supposed to be to strengthen faith, and especially of the next generation of believers. So, Stanley's mind, since the Old Testament is the Achilles heel, or the weak spot of Christianity, best way to strengthen Christianity is to take out the Old Testament. So there's nothing that the unbelievers can, you know, use against us. The title again of that sermon, that actual sermon clip that I got you, the title for that sermon is called Standalone, because his argument is that, you know, the New Testament can stand by itself. In fact, if you watch some of his messages, he says that the Gospel of John by itself can stand by itself. If that's all you had, if you didn't have the rest of the Bible, and you only had the Gospel of John, you're good. I beg to differ. Okay? Here's his argument. Here's Stanley's argument, and I'm going to quote this. Why does he say that about the Old Testament? He said this: Jesus' most devout first century followers never owned a Bible. They never read a Bible. They couldn't have read the Bible even if there was a Bible, because most of them couldn't read. And there was no Bible to read. So what happened? What did they believe? What did they know that we don't know? And why is it that you so quickly and have been persuaded so easily to walk away from the faith because of a book that didn't exist when Christianity began? It's just something to think about. So, this morning, I want you guys to think. Think hard about that statement while I try to share with you that Jesus, or what Jesus and the Bible says about this very dangerous teaching. To do that, I'm going to try and argue for three things. First, I'm going to try and argue that the departure from the Old Testament part of the Bible is a departure from the Bible as a whole. A departure from the Old Testament part of the Bible is a departure from the Bible as a whole. Second, I'm going to argue that you can't preach the fullness of Christ without the Old Testament. Can't preach Christ fully without the Old Testament. And lastly, a departure from the Old Testament part of the Bible could lead to a twisted version of Christianity and what it means to be a Christian. Okay, three things. So let's begin with the first. And I'm going to begin with a quote from the book. So the title of our sermon series is Preaching Christ from the Old Testament. I got that from a book called Preaching Christ from the Old Testament. And in that book, it said this: how can Christian pastors hope to feed their flock on a well-balanced spiritual diet if they completely neglect the 39 books of the Holy Scripture on which Christ and all the New Testament authors receive their own spiritual nourishment? How can we preach New Testament without emphasizing Old? Because Christ and all the writers in the New Testament, their Bible was the Old Testament, the scrolls. So contrary to what Andy Stanley says, the New Testament disciples, even Jesus himself, had a Bible. It's not this, but they had one, the Word of God that was written. And that Bible in those days, in their day, was the Old Testament. And listen, they read their Bible. Who here reads their Bible? Four people. These guys read their Bible. That's why they're quoting it. They read their Bible. In fact, someone was kind enough to make a list of Old Testament quotes found in the New Testament. If you go to Bible.ca, there's about 300 Old Testament quotes that can be found in the New Testament. So for this first point, we're going to take them up one by one. 300. You guys ready? I didn't think so. Let's look at a couple. Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive, bear a son. Is that right? No. I don't think that's right. Let's go to Mark 1:2. Mark 1:2.
Okay.
There's one. Okay. That's in the Gospel of Mark. That's taken from Malachi 3:1. Luke 4:12.
Nope. Okay. Here's another
quote. You see the quotes? And Jesus answered them, it is said, quote of Jesus, and then Jesus quotes something else. You shall not put the Lord God's name. Where did he get that? Deuteronomy 6:16.
So I can keep going. It's in John. It's in Romans. It's in James. It's in Jude. All the way to Revelation. There's quotes.
From the Old Testament. What we know as the Old Testament. So that means that from Matthew to Revelation, since the New Testament writers quoted from the Old Testament over and over again, and there's no shortage of Old Testament quotes from the New Testament or in the New Testament, that means they had a Bible. If you're going to listen to that whole sermon, that's this whole point was that these guys, New Testament writers, never had a Bible. So that means the Old Testament is useless. Well, obviously, it's not. So therefore, to depart from the Old Testament is to depart from the rest of the Bible. We can't say that the Old Testament is a closed book and that we shouldn't use it. That's impossible to do. Why? Because the New Testament writers fed on Old Testament scriptures. So if you say you're a New Testament Christian, you're actually eating the same thing. You're feeding on the same thing. They fed on it, right? So you can't separate old from new. You can distinguish it, you can't separate it. What about Jesus? Did he know the Old Testament as well? After the resurrection, Jesus said to his disciples, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me, where? In the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." Where is that? Old Testament. Everything written about me in the Old Testament must be fulfilled. Luke 24, verse 44. Jesus knew the Old Testament well because it spoke about him. Right? And this leads me to my second argument. You can't preach the fullness of Christ without the Old Testament. To know Christ fully, and therefore to know that the salvation that he brings is the greatest, most joyful, most hopeful news in the history of mankind. To know that is to see Christ in the Old Testament. There's this book called What the Old Testament Authors Really Cared About by Jason DeRucci. He said, if we want to know Jesus as best we can, we must saturate ourselves in the same scripture that he read, namely, Old Testament. To know Christ outside of the Old Testament is like celebrating Christmas as a commercial holiday. A lot of people do this. We know Christmas is coming. How? Decorations. In the Philippines, we went in September. September, Christmas music was already playing in the Philippines. Right? Joy to the world. I'm like, it's September. There's still Thanksgiving in North America, right? You forget Thanksgiving, you go straight to Christmas. Why? Because we can't wait for Christmas to come. Why? Because we understand Christmas to be what? This lovely atmosphere of giving. We love receiving gifts. We love the sales. We love it. Who's waiting for Boxing Day? Right. Some of us are. I'm not going to buy it now. I'll wait till Boxing Day. That's our main idea, main understanding of what Christmas is. It's for a lot of people. I hope nobody here sees Christmas that way. But for a lot of people, that's how we understand Christmas. But we don't quite have a grasp why Christmas is celebrated that way. Why do we celebrate Christmas by giving? In fact, some of you only give during Christmas. Why? If you take Christ out of it, how else can you explain it? Same thing with the Old Testament. Take Old Testament and the good news of salvation in Christ, the impact of it, it's not as big. Power of the witness of the New Testament writers comes from the experience of seeing the prophecies about the Messiah come to life. That's why they were so excited about it. Because they read it from they were kids. They were reading about it. There's somebody coming. Somebody's coming. Genesis 3:15. Somebody's coming. Where is this? And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. How would you feel? Power of the witness of the New Testament writers comes from the experience of seeing the prophecies about the Messiah come to life. This experience would not be the same if they didn't have any clue about these prophecies. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have the Old Testament. In the same way, the power of our witness should also be rooted in the same foundation as the New Testament writers. If we would only saturate ourselves in the same scriptures as they did, we will see that the power of God's word in the Old Testament is realized in Christ. Let me show you a figure from that same book, what the Old Testament authors really cared about. Check out this picture. It's not very clear, but look at the hourglass. There's supposed to be an hourglass there. See how all the covenants at the top there? Adamic, Noahic, you can't read it, but the picture's bad. Adamic, Noahic, Mosaic, all the old covenants, it goes into this like it's an hourglass figure, and it all filters down to the Lord Jesus Christ. And from Jesus Christ, it filters back out. Right? Do you see that? Hopefully you can see it. If you can't see it, it's an hourglass figure. Right? So Old Testament filters down to Christ, and then it filters back out. So when you look at that, you can say that, you know, all the teachings on the Old Testament, there's some of them is hard to understand. But when Jesus Christ came, oh, there it is. That's what it meant. That's what the Lamb meant. That's what Exodus meant. That's what, right? That's what Noah's Ark meant. That's what Leviticus meant. Who's read Leviticus? It's so confusing, right? That's what Leviticus meant. The Day of Atonement, that's what it meant. The power of the Old Testament, Word of God in the Old Testament is realized in Christ. I'm going to give you another, illustration just to prove the point. It's like the sun, okay? We kind of know how powerful the sun is when we see its light and you feel its heat. You have an idea of what the power is, right? But when you put that light through a magnifying glass, you'll have a better idea and a greater respect and understanding for its power. There was this experiment that was done, I saw it on YouTube. They took a big magnifying glass and they put it under the sun. It melted rock. It melted rock, it's steel, anything that they put in front of it, it melted it. You won't know that if you don't put up, you didn't put it through that magnifying glass. Right? You'll just feel some power. Old Testament, I think, is like that. You don't realize how powerful the Old Testament is as the Word of God if you don't put it through the lens of the cross of Christ. But once you put it through the lens of the cross of Christ, you'll see how powerful that first three quarters of the Bible is. Right? It is at the cross that the Old Testament power is unleashed and made useful for believers. The apostles were the first recipients of that power, and we are witnesses of this power through their writings in the New Testament. So preaching the fullness of Christ outside the Old Testament undermines the power of God for salvation and his faithfulness and goodness to save. If you think that God started saving in Matthew, you're wrong. God has been saving ever since Genesis. In fact, I'll go as far as to say that Genesis 3:15 is what John 3:16 is talking about. But what is John 3:16?
You know what that's talking about?
Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman will come. Will step on the head of the serpent. That's what John 3:16 is talking about. If you didn't see that, and you just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you come to 3:16, oh, nice. And this is offered to you, free. Grace, free. And you're be like, okay, so what's in it for me? You don't go to hell. Great, I'll take it. If you see it like that and you take it like that, how serious really are you? Do you really understand what that meant? How blessed are you? We were taking this up in Sunday school. It says there that those who pay attention to the word will see something good or will discover something good. But blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Most of us, when the gospel is presented the way it is right now, watered down, not the full thing. It's just God loves you, accept him as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. A lot of us, a lot of people that are shared the gospel that way, are like, okay, good. All the benefits. Give me all the benefits. They saw something good, they accepted it. But were they blessed? Blessing comes when there's trust in the name of the Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ. And to see that more vividly, you would have to see that God wasn't just, all of a sudden, just changed his mind in the New Testament. No. It's been since Genesis 3:15, 2,000-3,000 years ago. Or even more. I'm talking about the coming of Christ, but even more than that, God has always been saving. Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." The power of the Old Testament is made manifest, evidenced in the Lord Jesus Christ coming to fulfill the law. Lastly, departure from the Old Testament leads to a twisted version of Christianity in general and what it means to be a Christian in particular. Matthew 5, 18-19. Can you guys read that?
So these verses,
if you know your Bible, were part of the Sermon on the Mount. And it's interesting to note that before Jesus unpacked the Old Testament laws. So after this, if you read the Sermon on the Mount, after he said this, he starts talking about, you have heard it said. You have heard it said. You have heard it said over and over again in the sermon. Before he unpacked the Old Testament laws in order to point people to a higher law, Jesus said that first. What is he doing? He's emphasizing the importance of Old Testament laws in the verses, right? He's saying that you shouldn't take the law for granted. You shouldn't take the Old Testament for granted. What was Jesus' goal? Jesus' goal was not to unhitch. It was not to detach. It was not to unyoke the Old Testament, nor to dismiss the Old Testament as insignificant or irrelevant or even obsolete. That's not what Jesus was saying. For Jesus, the Old Testament, or the importance of the Old Testament, is rooted in his fulfillment of all the laws and prophecies that were in it. Right? He's saying it's important because all these, the laws and the prophecies that the Old Testament writers wrote about, I'm fulfilling it. Right? That's why he couldn't dismiss it. He couldn't say it's obsolete. It's not obsolete. How are they going to understand his mission if they don't know, or if they don't have no idea where he's coming from, right? Ligonier.org said this: Jesus does not disagree with "it is written" in verses 21 to 48, but he disagrees with "you have heard." Jesus critiques mistaken interpretations of Scripture not the written words themselves. Because what was happening back then? The Pharisees were using Old Testament law and they were adding on to it, making it heavier and heavier and heavier for people to follow and obey. And Jesus says, that's not what the Old Testament is talking about. That's why he said, you have heard it said. Who did they hear it from? The Pharisees. He didn't say, you have read it. He said, you have heard it said this. But I say to you, because he was against the wrong interpretation of scriptures. He wasn't against the Old Testament itself. Unfortunately, some people see it that way. That's why they're like easy to dismiss the Old Testament. Jesus was against, and we're going to go back to a review of our Ten Commandments. Jesus was against false witnesses when it comes to the understanding of the Old Testament. They were witnessing, the Pharisees were witnessing about what God said in the Old Testament, but what they're saying is not true. It's false. It's false witnessing. It was ruining the lives of the people there. That's why Jesus comes in and says, no, no, no. You have heard it said, but I say. Right? Because a wrong understanding and interpretation of scriptures will inevitably lead to a wrong application. Simple, right? There's a lot of critique for Andy Stanley. That, by the way, was like 4 years ago. Now, the reason I brought it up is because there's a lot of people criticizing him because he just had a conference in his church. Not just, but like a couple of years ago. There was a conference in his church supposed to be to help parents deal with same-sex or homosexual children. To communicate with them. To help them deal with that situation. But he explicitly said, this is not about theology. This is not about, you know, changing the mind of these kids. It's not about that. It's just about keeping the channels of communication open so that you can, as parents, talk to your kids about it. One of the speakers in the conference was a couple who had children. But the couple were two guys who were married. His reasoning was, the reason why they were great help for these kids is because, you know, they're dealing with it. They're in that situation. And it's easier for them to explain what being gay, I guess, feels like is. How do you deal with it? And he got a lot of flack for that. Andy Stanley did. Should he have? Maybe not. Because when you listen to his motives or his motivations for having this conference in his church, it sounds right, but it's not biblical. So how right could it be? Is it right to accept children, kids, adults who are homosexuals in your church? Is it right to welcome them in? Yes, it is. Is it right to affirm them in their lifestyle? Especially when this conference featured two married males? Is it right to affirm that? No, it's not. Accept them, yes. Come, but we have to tell you the truth. But don't affirm it. That was a big issue at the business meeting at CBOQ. Right? There are some churches in the CBOQ family that's affirming homosexual lifestyles. And some churches are like, no, shouldn't be doing that. Don't affirm it. And so it's not like it's like, oh, it's happening in the States, not happening here. It's happening here. We can't affirm it. We can't look at the New Testament and separate Old Testament because explicitly in the Old Testament it talks about men shouldn't be lying with the same other men. Because right? That's their biggest argument when it comes to New Testament, right? Jesus never said that homosexuality was wrong. Have you searched your Bibles? Look for it. He's never. Paul did. Paul said it over and over again. Jesus never said it. But he did say one thing about the, when it comes to divorce, right? What did he say about divorce? In the beginning, divorce wasn't so. Why? Because marriage is between one man and one woman. And whatever God put together, let no man separate. Do we miss that? Or is the reason why we miss that is because the Old Testament is obsolete? I think that's, for a lot of critics of Andy Stanley, that's what they're saying. He's been like this for the longest time because he's trying to set this up, this one conference up. I'm like, that's going too far. But I think that what led to him affirming and having that conference in his church is because he separated himself from, or his belief, his faith, his understanding of Scripture from the Old Testament. So when you do that, you interpret New Testament wrong. Right? And Jesus was against that. Don't say that the word is wrong. No, you're wrong. Your understanding is wrong. You should understand it this way. So in Andy Stanley's quest to make the gospel more acceptable to unbelievers, he watered it down to a point of killing it by detaching the gospel from its Old Testament roots. As a church, we need to learn from this situation. We need to realize the importance and the value of Old Testament scripture to the New Testament gospel. I can't prevent you from listening to sermons like that. Some of you still listen to Joyce Meyer and Joel Osteen. I see people posting on Facebook. Oh, Joel Osteen. Joyce Meyer, yes. I can't help you out. The only way I can help is to tell you, don't listen. Or if you do listen, listen carefully. And with wisdom coming from the Holy Spirit. Right. Listen, study your Bibles. Like everything that he said, my wife knows. I've been sitting here for 2 days listening to this guy. And everything that he said, I had to check it. Is that right, what he said? Because there's cling, 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 cling. There's like these little alarms going off in my head. That's not right. I checked it. Yeah, wrong. Are you like that when you're listening to? Who here listens to podcasts and sermons online? And nobody? What do you watch on YouTube? You have to be sensitive to these things because there's a lot of these things going around because of this social justice movement that's going on. A lot of Christians are kind of like just stepping back and wanting because they don't want to be canceled. They're stepping back from the truth. They don't want to stand on it because they're going to get canceled. And we're not like that. Hopefully. Our church is not like that. Like, I'm the only one who's going to go to jail. Everybody else say, no. We need to learn from that situation. We need to realize the importance and the value of Old Testament scripture to the New Testament gospel. We need to see that Jesus, as the goal of the Old Testament, made Himself preeminent and central to our understanding of God's salvation in the New Testament. So, let me close with one more illustration. Let me show you a picture. Any basketball fans? You all know this picture? You all know this guy? Look at the year. I don't know if you can see it, but look at the year. 1986. Michael Jordan's rookie year, rookie card. If you went to a garage sale and they were selling basketball cards and you saw this, 1986 Fleer, right? 1986, it's probably in a glass case, old basketball card. Would you say, well, that's old, throw it out. Would you? You know how much this costs? It was the latest one that was sold was 488,000 US. Why is it so expensive? Why is it so valuable? Because of the card? Because who's in it? Right? If that was in Jordan, if that was LeBron, nobody would buy that. I'm sorry. I don't like LeBron. I'm not a big LeBron fan. I don't like LeBron. Yeah. The only reason he got his championship is because he got it to good teams. He didn't make his team good. but this guy, he was actually really good, right? So you wouldn't, right? No true basketball fan would throw that card away. That card was made valuable because of what Jordan became during his career. Now, I'm not trying to compare the Old Testament to a Michael Jordan rookie card. But if that's valuable and it's old and it's not even that old, how much more the Old Testament? Especially if it was talking about someone who came to life, became real, became human, became incarnate in our new. How can you throw that part out? You can't, right? So what we're going to do the rest of this Advent season is we're going to be preaching from select scriptures in the Old Testament to help you see that there is a way to see Christ in the Old Testament. If you would just take the time to study your Bibles, you can see Christ in the Old Testament. And I'm sure even the songs that will be sung during cantata, you're not just going to sing about birth. There's going to be some prophecies in there. Will there be? Imagine, no, just New Testament. There will be, because you can't get away from it. So that's what we're going to be doing. So next week, it's going to be the first one. Our elders are going to be speaking on this topic. And then after that, we're going to have a break for the cantata, which I hope everybody here will come and join us. And then after that, on the 24th, by the way, on the 24th, it's a Sunday, so we won't have any evening service. We just have the regular morning service, but we'll have our candlelight service during the morning service. Therefore, you have a lot of time to prepare for what really matters. Noche buena. I hope not. I'm just kidding. So you have a lot of time to prepare, you know, with your family and stuff like that. So hopefully you can join us then. And please, 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 please. I'm learning this now. I should have learned this long ago. Read your Old Testament. Read it. It's boring, yes. I get it. But the more you understand, the more you see Christ in it, the more it becomes like, wow, there's power in this. Amen? Let's pray.
The Lord bless you and keep you.